produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
I am Dr. Lisa Love Warrior, and I am so excited about you joining me today on Love Your Making here on Josie's Inspirational Network on the platform of Finding Your Way with Kayla Padgett. Oh, my God. You know, we talked about last week how amazing. There you go. I did the wrong thing. How amazing. Just a new collaboration is. It is just with every week we find out just how connected we are all over the world. I think today we got a message from our brothers in South Africa, the ministries there. They're hearing us all over the continent and other foreign countries and folks here in America, and it's just phenomenal. Those of you who know me know that I've been a part of the Blog Talk family for a number of years, I guess probably since 2008, and before then, just real familiar with radio, particularly in the Richmond area, Richmond, Virginia, where I was on Faith Radio a number of years and on cable. But you know, radio is my love. Hey, Dr. J, thank you for joining. Listen, for the next 20 minutes, I just want to share just a bit regarding Love You're Making. I am speaking to an audience, particularly of women in leadership. Men can listen as well, too. Don't mind joining the company that's there. But I have a burden on my heart to encourage and to educate and to inspire and to hold accountable, if I have the authority to do that, those of us who are in leadership. The Bible says that we should provoke one another to love and to good works. And certainly I want to be found being about my Father's business in that regard. So I want to thank all you for joining. I'm glad I have some prayer power here. Brother Jody Aubrey is joined. My niece Lily Harris is joined. And then all of you all over the continent. So you know what I do? I start out with prayer. So I'm praying with you, and I want you to pray with me, and we're praying for the whole world, particularly the USA. If we're going to make America great again, then we have to be a part of the process, all right? So come on, pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. Father, we magnify your name. This day, truly, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the great I am. You're all of that. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Kiskanu, our righteousness, you are Jehovah Shema, our peace, all of those things. You are who we need you to be in this day, and who would love a God like you? We ask you to be a part, be the be the anchor, and we're certainly let Dr. Reed be the co-anchor of this broadcast today, that we might see yours, your leaders all over the world, oh God, calling them, oh God, to a higher standard of leading. But first of all, we want to call them to a higher standard of just being, living and moving and having their being in you. Before a leader is made, of course, you make that individual. And so we are thanking you that you are, you have your hands on us, that we're on the potter's wheel and we are being made whole every day, every time you just, every time wisdom whispers in our ear, the Holy Spirit leads us. We're being made. We're being made every time we're corrected and reproved. We're being made every time we're being taught. We're being made every time we're being called to a place of understanding, not leaning on our own, but in all our ways, acknowledging you. So, Father, we just ask you to bless this broadcast, the mission that you have given yours truly to accomplish, oh God, and knowing that I can't do anything without you. You backing me, we can get it done. So thank you for those that are listening that might be edified by it all, again, all over the world. Father, you're amazing. Your love is awesome. And you want us, Father, to be found. The scripture says, reminds us, and I pray the scripture today, be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, my God, can we talk about that, Father, in this prayer? We know that if we find ourselves living and moving and having our being in you, we have to be able to fulfill that mandate. And so we trust our being inside of you, Father. Bless me again so that what I say will be clear and what I hear you say. Amen. Like Jesus prayed. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to get that prayer out. Thank you, my classmate Marcia, for joining. My brother Keith is joining. Rebecca. All of you, and if I don't call you out to the end, it's not, I acknowledge you, but once I get in the flow, only have 20 minutes left, and I'm trying to get it all in, and I have a lot to get in, okay? Thank you, Valerie, for joining. Let's get right to it, okay? Want to be relevant to today. I will talk biblically about the scripture, but I want to speak to us as contemporary, as leaders of this day. What is God calling us to be about? Certainly, he's not interested in whether we are well-known, could care less. He's not that concerned that you're filling stadiums, you know, so people can come and see you. If Christ be lifted up, he'll do all the joy. So numbers are not an issue for God, but he is concerned about your heart. He is concerned about your representation of him. He is concerned about, like Jesus said, Father, I only say what I hear you do. He is concerned about our character. Yes. He is concerned about how we treat one another. He is concerned about us growing in him. He is concerned about us walking in integrity. There's a scripture that says, and I know it's in there, you go look it up. It says, I desire truth in the inner man. And so there are places that we want to go in leadership, but unless that man, that inner man, is being made, being subject, being taught by the Holy Spirit to increase in the things of God, then there's nothing publicly we can do for any glory of our own, because all the glory belongs to God. But we don't do God a favor if we come out, as it were, half-baked. Pastor Brode is... Pastor Judas, I see you there. God bless you, man and woman of God. And so I want to talk to leaders today about, Brother Judas will appreciate this topic, living in process as a leader. You know, the you being made first before you become a leader or before you endeavor to take on the full role of leadership. There's a question that Jesus, well known, we preached it and we heard it preached and all like that, but I want to delve in it a little bit further today. I may have talked about it a little bit on last week. He asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you. Asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Of course, he said, feed my sheep, he's time. But he asked him three times, and Peter got exasperated with, as it were, being like with God, you know I love you. And then he said, well, feed my sheep. If there is to me, I want to just put this to you. Consider this. There is something that I believe that Jesus wanted Peter to question within myself. Peter, do you love me enough to trust me and obey me? Do you love me enough to become like me? Do you love me enough to do it my way? Do you love me enough to follow me as an example first? You know, again, I want to reference back to what Jesus would often say. I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I hear the Father, what I see the Father do, rather. And so that Jesus gave us an example of what it meant to be subject to God and the way he talked. And then heaven knows what kind of conversations Jesus would have with God when he would pull away and pray alone and be built up after each time he came out and do a public ministry. But I want to go back to this part about what the scripture says. Scripture says Jesus grew, my God, and waxed strong in wisdom and favor with God and with men. Jesus grew. Jesus waxed with wisdom and gained favor with God and with men. And so the growing part is what I want to talk about today. Because the growing was not just for him to grow. He knew what his mission was. He knew what his purpose was. He knew why he was sent to the earth. That's there. That was all taken care of. That was all written before he even came down in the flesh. But because he was walking this earth as an earthly man, he went through the same processes that we have to go through. You know, we have to grow. And so you see him at 12 going in the temple and questioning the religious leaders and that kind of thing. And when his parents caught up with them after 3 days and inquired, why did you leave us? He said, you know, what you know I must be about my father's business. Well, then that was 12, and then you don't hear him anymore until he's in his 30s, early 30s. And then, you know, his mother has him at a wedding, and she compels him to, and he makes the wine after the wine had run out, and it was the best taste of wine they had all evening, that kind of thing. You see him working miracles. What happened between 12 and 30 or 31 or 30, whichever way, 3 years after that, he got in his thirst. This is the clue for me. He spent that time growing, learning. Of course, he knew the Torah. He knew the all the Old Testament. He could quote Isaiah and all those kind of things, all that. He knew all of that. He knew what was the law, which had already been written. In fact, many times when he was talking, he reminded the scribes and the Pharisees of what had already been written. So he knew he had learned the law. Where else did he grow? Let's get a clue. When it was time for Jesus and his disciples to pay taxes, they came, and he said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Of course, they had no money at the time, so he told his disciples to go down and catch a fish, open up the fish mouth, and there he is, and go pay Caesar. So he was a man that was acknowledged and was aware that there were some earthly responsibilities that he had to attend to, which was paying his taxes. So we can say he was a man of what? Integrity. Well, some leaders, not calling any names, I can call some numbers, start with 45, don't pay their taxes or we don't know how they pay taxes or whether they're paying the right taxes or whatever like that. Integrity is so important. We grow in walking in truth. That was my point on that one. So truth is very important as we grow as a leader. And Jesus told the truth. Or he handled his business in a truthful manner. In other words, his render to Caesar what Caesar. Oh, come on, Dr. V, come up with something a little bit more weightier than that. That's just like too simple. Okay, well, another way that Jesus grew was this. And I want to stretch you, but I'm stretch you in the vein of which I'm called, right? There's another scripture. I told you, but I'm not going to do all the work. You go do the work. Go research that stuff. There's a scripture that says Jesus loved Mary, Lazarus, Martha. He loved them. Time with them. He spent time in their home, teaching, whatever, relaxing, resting, you know, pulling away. I don't know what all of their social engagements were, but he spent enough time with Mary and Martha. And Lazarus, he developed a relationship with them And the scriptures say he loves them. Well, what does that have to do with growing, and what does that have to do with the process? Let me tell you something. I've been around 32 years, going on 33, in leadership. And the most disheartening thing I've experienced as a young and growing leader, and now 65 and pushing, 64 and some change. Y'all remember that? 64 and some change. I am remembering times of where I saw leaders who are not loving, leaders who are harsh, leaders who stood behind their titles. I'm prophet and I'm bishop and I'm teacher. I'm pastor this and that. Now, and treat people like dirt, or treat people rudely or unkindly or worthful or what have you. And so that I got a clue that part of the process of growing as a leader is you need to learn how to love somebody. And the Bible says that in all your things, everything that you do and everything that you do, do it what? In love. It's not just you doing it, but there's a way you do it. Amen? You do it in love. I see you, Amelia. God bless you. I love you, sis. And so that when we think about all over the world, okay, what country, what language, nation you're from that's there, if you say you are of Christ, if you say you are a leader, if you say that God has called you, he has some business that he wants you to handle of his, then he wants you to walk in truth. Mm-hmm. He wants you to obey the law of the land. He wants you to love his people. As part of my calling and part of my anointing as a counselor, and I can tell you the many, many years that I've counseled people from all different Christian denominations and walks, nobody got the corner on this. I've always had someone to come and share with me a sad story, a heartbreak story, a church hurt story, as it were, about a leader who was not loving and unkind and insensitive. And I could, the list could go on and on and on. So my challenge here on Love Your Making is I want you to fall in love, like Phil said. I want you to begin to love your life. I want you to begin to embrace being made in the image of Christ himself. I want you to embrace truth, and I want you to embrace the process of learning how to love not only others, but yourself. The Bible says love others, love your neighbor as you what? Love yourself. Then the big quote in you ought to get is if you run across a whole lot of leaders that are not loving and unkind to other people, then make that great assumption. They don't love themselves. It's like when women come to me and they want to talk about how rude and how hard it is for them to love their husband. I said, baby, he can't love you because what? He don't love himself. And then he don't love God. Because if you love God really like and respond to God really like he really wants you to, it'll be okay for you to love yourself. Because that's what the word says. You know, love your neighbor as you what? Love yourself. God wants us to love ourselves. He don't want us to be full of ourselves. That's a different story. That's a different place. But God wants us to love ourselves. And he wants us to love him. And he wants us to love his people. So Jesus grew in loving people. He took time to develop relationships. There were healthy relationships, strong relationships, positive relationships. And there he did. Stephanie, thank you for joining. God bless you. Listen, I'm here on Joseph Inspirational Network. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to try to tell you one more thing before I go. We're going to begin to expound on this. But I want to tell you this in light of I'm getting ready next week. I start my first week of training trusted advisors. You know, that's a name I coined. It's not, you know, I didn't invent it. I just coined it for the mission that God has gave me, and that was to encourage leaders to the place that they become safe place and get sound, whole, truthful, honest, loving, corrective, inspiring advice about life. And if they haven't been able to find it more in their homes, in their churches, on their businesses or whatever like that, do their mentoring relationships, do their coaching relationships and that kind of thing, then I believe that God has called me to create an army, and I chose this number out of the air, 120 women particularly men too, if they desire to be led this year to train 120 persons, people of God, on a formula that God has given me concerning becoming a trusted advisor, a safe place. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's much safety. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper than just being a counselor, dig a little bit deeper than just helping somebody fix an emotional problem or a spiritual problem. But we want to be what? Made whole. Amen? And so I'm believing that through what God has given me, the spirit of love, the spirit of increase, and the spirit of truth, intent, intensity, integrity, and based on a book that I've taught for many, many years in Bible college called The Making of a Leader by Frank DiMaggio. That's one of our major textbooks. And then what God has given me and what my staff is going to share with us in regard to that context of intent, intensity, integrity. It's time. We need safe places. You know, I believe that certainly God has called many of us to leadership, but have we really taken the time to work on ourselves to the degree that we walk in love, we walk in increase, and we walk in truth so that we may be safe for others who want to come to us and source from us what time it is in their lives? A seer would do that. They will see the vision of Christ inside of you, and when they don't see that, they have guts enough to tell you, listen, hey, Dr. V, you're a little bit too far to the left or a little bit too far to the right. And what we find sometimes is, particularly when we're called earlier, that if we don't have a trusted advisor in our lives, we don't have a seer in our lives, then we will go too far to the left and too far to the right. You know, I was blessed with some strong, strong leadership when I Sterling Lands, Dr. Brenda Wright, Mother Massenburg, Mother Winfrey. I got spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, Apostle P.D. Mason, you know, Apostle Sharon Jones, you know, even Pastor Sharon Broder, some of you that are on this line, you know, you have imparted into my life and helped me to continue to grow. You understand when I say growth is a continual thing. It is not you just arrive and all of a sudden you got all the answers, you can do everything right. But we need to stay in a posture of learning how to be and live and move our have our being in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we need others on the outside of us to be our reflectors, to be our mirrors and see into us, you know, and love us enough to, like I say, pull our skirt tail or pull our pants leg and say, hey, let's get it right. You know, let's really get it right. Let's slow down a little bit because God is going to give you responsibility for a lot of people one day. Or it could be that a lot of people could be one person. It could be like Jesus, you know, left his disciples and went and sat and waited on a one woman at a well and imparted to her life and gave and quenched her thirst. And she ran and went on to tell other people, like, you know, I met a man who told me everything ever I did. Is this not the Christ? He became an evangelist, as it were, from that point. So that one person that God may send you to, he's still going to trust you to give them good counsel, a safe counsel, you know, the wisdom of God flowing from you. But it comes from a vessel that has already been yielded to the Lord. Jesus had to yield himself to the wisdom and the way of God. And so that's why he would tell us so boldly and unashamedly and unapologetically, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I hear the Father do. I want some trusted leaders and advisors just like that. Hi, Brian. And I just want to be a part of encouraging you and teaching you and training you the things that I've learned over these 30 years. Not a novice anymore. I'm still learning, but I have something to impart to you. And if you want to know more about the trusted advisors, you know, please message me on Facebook. I'd be happy to tell you more about how to become a part of that class, or you may feel so endowed that you may want to become one of our guest speakers or what have you. But I'm committed to train that 120. How about that? Also, for a treat, you know, these trusted advisors will become certified, but for a treat for you, for the next probably 10 times that I'm on Inspirational Network, Love Your Making, I'm going to share with you some glimpses of what we're teaching in Trusted Advisors and biblical principles about leadership, about intent, intensity and integrity, about love and increase and truth. Want to hear about it? Let me know. Listen, it's been amazing. I'm going to have to release you. It is just about that time. But I want you to join me not next Thursday, but the Thursday after that at the 5 o'clock hour here in Central Texas, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And those of you who are all over the world, particularly in Africa, you know what your times are. But thank you so much for suffering me to come in and be a part of your life for this 25 minutes. And if you kind of not robbery, continue to pray for me as a leader. Continue to pray for me, for those who support me in leadership. I have one of my greatest supporters on the line now. I know she's going to get me for this, but the Bible says give honor where honor is due. My dear sister Brenda, she's white as all get out, but I tell her all the time, ain't nothing white about her, but her skin. But she's been a great support and helped me in my new surroundings and place here in Texas. God is doing a great work. And the Flower Acres Baptist Church, the pastors, Johnny and Freedom Murphy, they've been a blessing, helping me to Fedora's where I live now. And all the other ones that are on, that have been supportive, you know. Reverend Deacon Doug has been amazing, all that kind of thing. So if you sent me finances, if you prayed for me, if you thought of me, if you loved on me in any kind of way, I just want to say thank you now. And tune in again not next Thursday, but the Thursday after. I'm on every other week here at this time on Joseph Inspiration Network. Let's pray out. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are so awesome, and we love you. We love you so much, and we know you love us more. Help us to live and move and have our being in you. Help us to walk in intent, intensity, and integrity. Help us to become trusted advisors. Help us to love you more, love ourselves more, and love others. Help us to walk in the spirit of love and the spirit of increase and the spirit of truth. We can't do it without you, Father, and so we thank you in advance. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we praise and we pray. Love you much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-600-8080. 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are located in the world. This is your host, Benita Durice, here on Josie's Inspiration Network. I hope everyone had a fabulous day. If you had any negativity, I hope that when you wake up tomorrow that you can start the day and have such a moving and positive energy that flows through your body to allow you to have that perfect day come tomorrow if you haven't had a good day today. Again, my name is Benita Durice, and I am here. We're going to talk about I'm not enough. You know, a lot of people feel like they're just not enough. And when you have that thought or that mind thought in your head that you're not enough, then you have a sense of living in the same cycle. And living in the same cycle is what I mean is, you know, growing up as a child, you got to think when you were a child, you were born this perfect baby. You didn't know anything. You just was, you know, Googles, you know, making pretty smiley faces. Everybody love you. You're this pretty baby. And, you know, you were just perfect and so innocent. But as you grew up throughout your childhood, you started becoming aware of your environmental situation. And some of us grew up situations. Some of us grew up in great family environment, but some of us just did not have that experience of living in a family where everything was great or everything was good. They didn't have that experience of having a loving family. They didn't have that experience of going on family trips. They didn't have the experience of mom or dad actually talking to each other instead of yelling and screaming. So, you know, when we're younger, we get caught up into the emotions and the dynamics of what is going on in our family. And as a child, you are very impressionable. So you kind of absorb any and everything that is around you. And so if you're younger, you know, you may have had a family who mom and dad, or if you had a single mom or a single parent raising you, maybe they work so much that they didn't have enough time to spend with you, and you spent time over at your aunt and uncle's houses, and maybe they did a lot of drugs, you know, and that's what you became accustomed to. And you just knew, okay, this is what my family do, so this is probably what life is about. But in reality, you're not, you know, you're just absorbing what you're seeing in your family dynamics. You know, and sometimes it's kind of hard to break that cycle of what you grew up with. A lot of families I know on my father's side of the family, a lot of them grew up, you know, just fighting with each other and yelling and screaming with each other or fighting the neighbors, or, you know, it was just a lot of chaos. But I had my mom's side of the family where it was just peaceful, bliss. Everybody loved everybody. So I came from two different worlds. But as I grew up, I realized, like, okay, that's not normal, and I shouldn't be doing that. You know, I should be paying more closer to what my mom's side of the family was doing. And I ran into so many different families growing up where their parents were alcoholics, and they pretty much did what they wanted to do because their parents wasn't really involved in their life. And at some point, you know, they always think, or your child, you know, as a child, you think, okay, maybe I'm the cause of my parents doing drugs. Maybe I'm the cause of my parents being alcoholics. Maybe I'm the problem that my parents is fighting each other every other night. Maybe I'm the problem that my parents are not getting along and they're living in separate houses, or they're divorced now. And, you know, a child starts to think at that time everything is because of them, not realizing that those are adult situations. And the child, all they want to do as you're growing up, you just want to be that perfect kid. Okay, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get good grades, and everything's going to be fine. Or I'm going to go to school on time every day, I'm going to listen to the teacher, I'm not going to make no interruptions, and I'm going to make sure I do everything. I'm going to come home, I'm going to do my chores. And that the child sense is like, if I do everything right, my family environment will change, when in reality it's not going to change. It's just how at that time in your life that you are caught up in a situation that you can't get out of just yet because you're a child. So as we're kids and we grow up and we become adults and we start looking around, and, you know, we already feel bad about ourselves. We already have low self-esteem and low self-esteem about ourselves. We have very low, we have no friends or nobody to hang out with. We don't have, you know, because we feel like we're not enough. We, you know, I wasn't good enough to have a perfect family. I wasn't good enough to get my mom and dad off drugs. I wasn't good enough to, because my mom had to work so much to raise me. She had to do it by herself. I wasn't, you know, I'm not good enough. And we put this I'm not good enough thought into our mind, and it takes over, and it continues to take over. And a lot of times it takes over into your adulthood. And you don't really think about how it got into your mind. You don't really think about how it got into your mind, but it's there. But sometimes when you sit down and you think about it, most times it stems from when you were a child. And a lot of times now, you know, we look at these celebrities on TV, or we see our neighbor across the street with this skinny body, and we are looking at our, you know, we may be overweight, and we're looking at them like, okay, I'm just not good enough to start this business because I'm not that small yet, or I'm just not good enough to go buy a house yet because I don't have that perfect job. You know, I'm not good enough to go to a movie because I'm going to sit and eat snacks and my friend don't eat sweets or eat popcorn or anything like that. I'm not good enough to go to college because nobody in my family ever went to college or graduated from college. I'm not good enough to raise my kid without the support of food stamps or government assistance because my family, that's what my family did. We were raised that way. You know, that's how we got, you know, you feel like that's how you got around. And that's why you start stemming. I'm not good enough. And my point is, when you say that to yourself so many times, you really start thinking that it's true. It's really true. And I'm here to tell you that it's not true. You have your imperfections within your perfection, as Lisa Nichols would say. And you have to work on yourself to get where you want to be. You know, it was just, you know, when I was in college, and I pretty much, I think it was like my sophomore year in college or something, somewhere around there. And I had this teacher, and I felt really low after this. I had this teacher who told me that I'm not going to ever graduate from college because my reading skills was of a third grader. My writing skills was of a third grader, and that I should not pursue college anymore because I would not be able to write term papers and midterm papers on a college level. Now, telling somebody that at a young age, you really start thinking like, okay, I'm not good enough to go to college. If I have to write 20-page papers, how am I going to do that if this professor just told me my writing skills is not college-level writing? You know, so, you know, I remember that so well because I went home and I told my mom about the story, and, you know, she actually remembers the story too if I bring it up. And so I was so upset about it. And she was like, you know what? What that professor said about you is not true. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to graduate from college, you're going to graduate from college. You don't have to hurry up and graduate from college. If you want to go to learn, you know, if you want to do some writing classes, set up writing classes. Do what you need to do for you. You know, she gave me that advice, never to listen to what people tell you. But it just stuck with me, and honestly, it stuck with me for years. And I always, when it came to me writing, sometimes to this day too, when it came to me writing anything, I would have to sit and like read over because in my mind, I still had that teacher telling me that I wasn't good enough for college because I couldn't write well, you know. So because I couldn't write well, Now when I think of when I have to write something, that's why I got to the point to where I hated writing. Like literally, I didn't want to write absolutely nothing down. I didn't even want to sign my name on a check to cash because I didn't want to have nobody say, "Oh, what does that say? You know, it's my name. Or what do it say? You know." So I never really wanted to do anything that had to do with writing. But over the years, I was in college, and I came across another lady. Her name was Deborah. Her first name was Deborah. And she was like, I did a paper for her. She's like, you know what? I'm going to need you to work on your writing skills. And she did it so nice and gracefully. She said, I'm going to need you to work on your writing skills. I'm going to need you to, when you write a paper, I'm going to need you to type it up and read through it. She said, you know, I'm give you some ways to do it. If you type it in a 12 font, when you read it over, I want you to put it into a 22 font, so which means make the letters bigger. So that way you can see every word that you're reading, because you may be reading the word, reading what you had, but that word is actually not in there. You're reading it because you know what it's supposed to say. So I took her advice. And every paper that I end up writing, I would write it in a 12 font. But when I had to reread it, I would write it and I would change the font to 22 so I can see the letters and see everything bigger. That was the best thing that anybody could have gave me in advice in college. And she worked with me. She set me up, like, you know, the other teacher told me, no, you're just not going to graduate. She set me up in reading classes. I mean, she set me up in reading classes and writing classes. Reading wasn't bad, but and writing classes, because she figured those two go together. And I stayed after school in college, and she set me up with these programs, so that's how I continued college and graduated from my two-year degree at that time. And like I said, I felt like I wasn't worth going to college. I felt like okay, now I'm going to waste my time. I'm probably going to get an F in this class because she's already told me I'm not going to do anything. Well, because of that, when I started looking for work, all of that just came back because I went into the field of like social work or a counselor where you have to document everything on paper. Why would I go through a field like that? I don't know, but I just wanted to help people because I wanted people to feel better about themselves. I wanted people to feel good about themselves. I wanted people to feel like they are worthy and they can create their own life and that they can create whatever lifestyle that they want to create. They are the ones that have to change it. They can't just say, okay, I want to do it and not change it. So I've always was that person and that mentor kind of like, okay, let's change your mindset of, you know, feeling like you can't do something or feeling like, you know, you're not good enough to do that and figure out what ways can we help you. And I will always say, you know, tell people that, you know, some of the ways that you want to help yourself when you have that emotion or have that thought go through your mind, because it's a negative thought. It's really, really negative to think about yourself that you're not good enough, okay? So when you have those thoughts, I would say get out a piece of paper. And on one side of the paper, on your left side, I will put all the thoughts that come into your mind. So if your thoughts are just negative, I'm not good enough because I'm too fat. I'm not good enough because my hair is too short. I'm not good enough because my hair wasn't done for a certain day. I'm not good enough because I drink too much alcohol. I'm not good enough because I'm a drug addict. I'm not good enough because I'm a rape survivor. I'm not good enough because I was in an abusive situation. So we're going to take those words and we are going to on the other side and put, I am good because I chose to change my life this way. And you would just jot down, I chose to change my life, chose not to use drugs. I chose not to use alcohol, use alcohol or to cover up. I'm living my life the way I want to and the terms that I want to live it, not what somebody perceived me and think I should live it their way. So you would just jot down some things that you feel like you need to work on. And then on the other side, just carry all the positive and the results that you want. Because at the end, it's the result of the problem that you want to correct. You don't want to keep the problem and then think about it, then you write something else negative about it. You want to come out with a good end result. And that's the name of the game. You know, in anything that you do, it's actually the result, the outcome that you want for your life. And I tell a lot of people that when they choose to make a decision for themselves, they will make the best decision for them, not for somebody that's looking at you, not for your mother, not for your father, not for your sister, your best friend, but it would be the decision that you made for yourself, for you to live the way you want to live. And as we, you know, as we get into our adult life and we get older and we start feeling like, okay, now I haven't accomplished, let's say, opening up a business, because I've always had that fear, or I always felt that I wasn't good enough to open that business, or I always wasn't had that fear or wasn't good enough that I didn't go to school. Write that down. Make that your result, because what you don't want to do is get to age 99 and have all these regretful situations on things that you did, that you wanted to do, but you just felt like you was not good enough to do it. So you don't want to be in that rocking chair at the house or at the nursing home or wherever you're going to be at. I say 99 because I just think everybody should make it to at least 100. I just love that number, 100. So I just think everybody should live to at least 100 and then beyond. But, you know, you want to not have those regrets. If you wanted to go and bike ride across a desert, but you felt at that time you was overweight and you probably couldn't make it across the desert, well, think of ways of how you can still do that goal. Do that bike ride across the desert and do what you need to do. You take the steps that you need to do for that bike ride, or take the steps. I know I have friends that's scared to drive. Well, they're scared to drive because their parents, their mom was scared to drive. It wasn't because they were in a car accident or anything like that. It wasn't because they seen car accidents or anything like that. It was because their mom was scared to drive, and they grew up, dad always driving, and they grew up, oh, mom's scared to drive, so I'm scared to drive. And so you can't have those type of fears and outcomes for your life. I know I have a cousin that's scared of cats, ridiculously scared of cats. Now all of her girls are scared of cats. You see how that? See how it just keeps going? And that's the same thing with drug abuse and abuse of families, domestic violence, and everything. It's just a pattern that keeps going, and you have to make sure you break that pattern. Because I want everybody to feel like they know their self-worth. You know, because we are beautiful people on this earth, beautiful people. It's, you know, we see so much destruction in the world. We really do see so much destruction. But I am a true believer that people are happy, and there is more positivity in the world than negativity in the world. And the only reason we see the negative is because that's what they show on TV, and they talk about it on the radio, and they, you know, see it in the newspaper. But they don't show enough of people actually doing good work in the community or around the world. I just have that belief, like if I go over to across seas someplace, that I'm going to have a really good time and not have the stigma of something that may happen to me when I get over there, because that's what people say that's what's going to happen when you go over there. I just don't have that belief that, you know, I should be afraid to go traveling just because I was scared, or I felt some countries, you know, I just feel like, okay, maybe I shouldn't belong over there. But in reality, it's just what I'm seeing on TV or I'm seeing or hearing, and that's really a false fiction of what really is going on in the world. We are beautiful people, like I said. We love each other. We you know, even if we're not even close, you know, if we're across the world, we love each other. We do. You know, I come across, you know, I live in the New York area, and I come across a lot of diversity in this area. And I'm probably maybe one of many people who just speaks to everybody. I don't care who you are. I'm not walking up to you, but you walking past me or you near me, I'm going to say good morning, good afternoon, how's your day? But it took me a long time to do that, because a long time I felt like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough to just speak to people, just to speak to them. And I didn't understand why I should speak to them. I just pretty much, you know, I just, you know, because my mom is this bubbly person. She speaks to everybody. She won't even steal a pen. So that's her. But I'm the type, like, it took me a long time to be like this person that I just speak to everybody. Or I just, you know, because I said, like, for a long time, I've always had that self-doubt. I always had that I'm not good enough because of the situation in college. Like, if it involves, like I said, if it involves anything to do with writing, it's pretty much like, I don't want to do that. You know, and it's funny because I'm an author of two books, Employee to Entrepreneurship, and what he and she said, you know, that I'm which is, you know, fascinating to me because I've always wanted to write a book or be in a book, but I was like, my writing skills is like terrible. So why am I still thinking about this at the age? At that time, I was like 25, 30. I'm like, how can I write a book if I can't write? So now that I'm, you know, a little older, I have two books. And like I said, one is called Employee to Entrepreneurship, and the other one is Him and Her and What They Said. And the one is a relationship book and one is a business book. Two different areas on the spectrum. They do have nothing to relate with either one. So those are some things I want us to not feel like we can't do, because when we feel that way, we just tend to not do enough in the world. We tend to just, you know, say, okay, forget it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's, you know, it's too hard, or it's to the point where, you know, if my friends or my family say anything, I'm going to just like, okay, they said that. They said I can't do that. So I'm not, that means I'm not good enough to do that. So I want us to just, you know, we have a few more minutes here on the line. I want us to just write things down on what you think you feel like you're not good enough and change that into a positive and something that you are, and make sure you put, I am good enough too. That's what you put. I am good enough to blank, blank, blank. I am good enough to learn how to drive. I am good enough to go to college. I am good enough to go to the gym and not feel like everyone's staring at me. I am good enough to love myself. Now, that's a big one. You can't, in order to get to this point, you have to love yourself. Nobody can love you like you can love yourself. So you have to get to a point where you love yourself and make yourself feel good enough. If you feel like you need to, you know, reach out to someone that you feel comfortable talking to, reach out to that person. Just don't keep it in. Just don't keep it in, because once you keep it in and it's all bottled up, at some point, like I said, you're going to get older and we're going to have all of these regrets and all of this, I should have, could have, and would have attitude. It should have, could have, and would have. They cousins. They work together. Should have, I call them twin cousins, because, I mean, triplets. They related. Should have, would have, and could have are related. They are family members that would destroy your mind. Should have, I should have did that. I could have did that. What if I would have did that? You know, so should have, would have, and could have. They family members. Get them out your vocabulary. Get them completely out your vocabulary and do what you are designed to do. And that's one, to love yourself and love on you hard. I mean, love on yourself so hard that when somebody says something negative about you, you can say, I don't accept that. I don't agree with that. I am who I am, and I love myself the way I am. And if you don't approve of it, I don't have the problem. That's you that has the problem. But for me, I'm good because I love who I am. I love who I have become, and I love where I am going. So, you know, that was the message I wanted to give tonight. I want to make sure that people understand that they are good enough to do anything they set their mind to. They are good enough to be the person they want to be. They are good enough to, you know, some people feel like they don't go to church because they don't have nothing to wear. Go to church. You're good enough to be at church at any given time. Don't have that mind frame that, okay, I don't have a dress to go to church, so I'm not going. Get something and just go. It don't matter what you got on. Just go to church. If you want that job interview, you feel like you're not good enough for that job that you want to go to, that you want to have, and the listing is on your job website, post for it. Post for the job. You're good enough to have that job. you're good enough to have that interview. You're good enough to sit down with that person that's interviewing you and possibly taking their job. So you have to remember at all times that you are good enough to succeed in whatever you put your mind to. Again, this is Vanita DeRees, and I am the I didn't say that earlier, but create your own. That's why my show is called Create Your Own, because I want you to become the person that you are designed to be. I will be back on here in another 2 weeks in April. It's April. It'll be April already by the time I come back talk to you guys. So you can find me up on Facebook under Vanita DeRees, V-E-N-I-T-A-D-U-R-I-C-E, and I will be talking to you guys in about 2 weeks. Have a fabulous morning, afternoon, and good night. Thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, and welcome to The Living Room. Thanks so much for tuning back in to join us. I am your host, Julia Davis, and we are really excited to have you tune in with us today. If you're joining us for the very first time, meaning you've never tuned into a show before, let me tell you, you are in for a treat this evening. The Living Room is really a show where we talk about real issues. We provide information that is both edifying and empowering. And our goal is really to give you some practical things that you can take away from this conversation that will really help you to understand better and empower you really to do some things with your life in a different way, really open up your understanding. We really believe that transformation comes when our minds are renewed. And so that's what The Living Room is all about. In fact, our tagline is The Living Room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. So you are in for a treat. As I said earlier, many of us as believers have heard about the healing power of Jesus. And I think if you were to stop a Christian on the street today and ask them what do they know about healing, they would likely say that they believe that Jesus died on the cross so that we might be healed. But beyond that, unfortunately, there's not a lot of information that people know and apply on a regular basis when it comes to healing. I think they leave that up to the pastors and the preachers and the people that they believe have a particular responsibility or a calling in that area. But one of the things that we want to get done right off the bat tonight is to let you know that healing is not just exclusively for those who are called into ministry. Healing is something that every believer should expect to not only receive, but also to be able to pray for someone else's healing. And so this topic tonight is about the power of healing, the power of prayer, the power of praying prayers for people to receive their healing. And our guest tonight is someone who has quite a bit of knowledge and experience in this area. It is someone who is a dear friend and co-laborer in the ministry, Carla Smith, who has been trained in this area of healing through the International Healing Rooms of America. She's also received training through the Cancer Center Treatment of America, as well as the Global Awakening Christian Healing Certification Program, along with just hands-on experience in the area of healing. And so let me first stop and welcome you, Carla, to the living room.
Thank you, Pastor Julia. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, let's get right to it. My first question for you today is, how did you become interested in this specific area of ministry related to healing?
Well, I had a life-changing experience in 2008. I was diagnosed with stage 3 C colon cancer. And during that time, I was filled with a lot of unforgiveness with my biological father, and that I had dealt with for over 30 years of my life.
Wow.
And so during that process of 3 years, I went through a year of chemotherapy treatment. I went through 3 surgeries. I had a partial colectomy. But more so than that, my relationship with my father, my biological father, we had a reconciliation that took place. And all that unforgiveness that I had with him was causing, you know, some root causes to manifest in my body, and it arise through colon cancer. And so during that process, we reconciled, and I forgave, you know, him for the things that happened in my childhood, you know, with just, I guess you could say, emotional abuse and things like that. So, but more so than that, I received adoption by my spiritual father, which is Jesus.
Wow. So there's so much that we want to unpack, but I want to begin to talk about how that experience then allowed you to see the power of God and the power of forgiveness as it relates to receiving your healing. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But talk to us about how your journey began. Once you received the healing, you reconciled with your father, you accepted Christ, then what?
Well, during that process, I just God gave me such a compassion for others who were hurting. And so I started volunteering with my local community with hospice, and I volunteered for about 3 years, not knowing that what I had gone through, God was going to allow me to help others who were at the end of their life, whether it was, you know, cancer or diabetes or a heart condition. And so I started my journey there, and 10 years later, I'm now doing spiritual care with hospice, with the organization and the DMV. And so I know it's my calling. I know it's what God called me to do. But more so than that, it's the compassion that I have for others.
Wow. So you started to see really kind of God's fingerprints, if you will, in terms of his ability to guide you and direct you. And as you began to respond to the different opportunities that he presented before you, what were some of the things that you started to see as it relates to just people in general, as it relates to and their level of faith when it comes to healing?
Well, a lot of times when we are going through in our physical body, it's really being manifested from something that's what we know to be a deep-rooted cause, which can be unforgiveness or bitterness or just things that we have held on to. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're holding on to it. And so I believe that's when you stay in the Word of God and keep your relationship right, in the right relationship with God as well, and continue to stay in the Word. Prayer, meditation, and fasting is also a representation of who God is and what He requires of us to stay in right relationship with Him. But I've seen a lot of that in hospice. And some of the times that I've had with patients and loved ones, unforgiveness is the main one. It's the main thing that a lot of people deal with. And during that time, you know, they end up, you know, forgiving their loved one, or the loved one forgiving themselves of something they are holding themselves hostage for.
So you're sharing with us from the pages of your own life, but also from your experience working in the area of hospice, that people who harbor or hold on to unforgiveness, that that is a number one deterrent or barrier or obstacle to their receiving the healing power of Jesus. Now, one of the things that I want to say at the outset, and I know many of you listening out there know this, but it's important that we establish that Jesus died on the cross so that we might be able to access eternal life, but also that we might be able to live the abundant life here on earth, which includes healing. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, he tells us that the wounds that Jesus bore on the cross, the stripes that he bore on the cross, were done specifically for our transgressions. And as a result of that, with those stripes, we are healed. In other words, there was a appropriation made for our healing on the cross. And so one of the key things about dealing with this topic of healing is, first of all, your belief and faith in the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ as it relates to our healing. Do you believe that whatever ailment, be it physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever ailment you might be dealing with, do you believe that it was dealt with on the cross? That is a foundational thing that is important for everybody to know and really have faith in before we can proceed any further to talk about some of the other things related to your receiving healing. Now, Carla also mentioned unforgiveness, so I want to go back to that. What about unforgiveness presents a barrier or obstacle to healing?
Well, unforgiveness can pretty much keep you in bondage. And a lot of times what we've come to know and see is that even in situations where you haven't forgiven someone for something that may have happened in your childhood or years ago, and that person may be gone on to glory, and you're still holding on to that unforgiveness, and really you're holding yourself hostage for something that may have happened. So unforgiveness is really one of the main things that really holds people hostage when it comes to being a blockage in healing.
Well, and here's the principle behind that, so that I want to make sure we're talking to the person who doesn't have any experience or knowledge about this. Also, as a refresher to somebody who may have been very well versed in this area, the problem with unforgiveness is that you are asking God to forgive you of the sins that you have committed, of the error, of the wrongdoing that we do every day, the things that we know we need Him to forgive us for. Yet, we want to hold someone else, we want to withhold, I should say, forgiveness for something that someone else has done. So when we think about forgiveness, it goes both ways. It's not only something that you need from God, but it's something that you need to be freely able to give to others as they sin against you. So when you think about the Lord's Prayer, even in that model prayer tells us, you know, to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And so, you know, there are many accounts in Scripture that talk about forgiveness. But one of the ways that I like to talk about it is to say to you that a closed fist is to me the ideal example of unforgiveness. Why? Because nothing can get in and nothing can get out. And so, therefore, if you are holding someone in a state of unforgiveness, then not only could you not receive forgiveness, but then because your fist is closed, you're not releasing forgiveness to that person. So as you can see, that can harbor a root of bitterness, and it can lead to a barrier and a hindrance to your receiving the healing that Jesus has already appropriated. He's already died for on the cross. So look at how he requires us. Here it is, how he requires us to be in relationship with him vertically as much as we are in relationship with mankind horizontally, which makes up the image of the cross. So when you think about the cross, it is both vertical and horizontal. So we must be willing to forgive others, those that we have dealings with or have had dealings with in our lives, as much as we need him to forgive us of the things that we do on a day-to-day basis.
Amen.
So let's now talk about how it is that a person can begin to pray for healing, be it for themselves, because I want people to leave the show with an understanding in a very practical way of what things they can begin to do to pray for themselves. Once they believe that Jesus died for their sins and appropriated the stripes and the bruises on the cross to make provision for their healing, what now should they begin to do as it relates to the healing for themselves or for someone that they love or care for?
Well, I believe that the power of God is a tangible. He's tangible. His presence is tangible, and his healing is tangible, and it's available to anyone who has a desire to be healed. And so in relation to someone who really wants to have a desire to be healed, I think that what I have seen and what I've experienced is that you have to have a desire to want to be healed and acknowledge to God those areas through prayer, through fasting and meditation. But I also think that we must continue to strive to have a clean heart. And so a lot of the times when we have prayed for those who are in need of a healing, a lot of times they have matters of the heart. And so those are some areas that I have known personally and have dealt with as well that has been a stronghold or a struggle, when I needed to receive healing years ago when I dealt with colon cancer.
Okay, so I can begin to pray for myself by, first of all, getting some healing scriptures from the Bible. We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how do I begin to apply that word to my life daily? I know that one of the other huge topics, which we don't even have time to cover in this show, is the whole idea of life and death being in the power of the tongue. My God. And how we can begin to recognize that there is a direct correlation, the Bible says, about what we say out of our mouths and what we really believe and then what is actually manifesting in our lives. And so part of why it's important to get some scriptures related to healing is because that is what you are standing on, that is what you are believing. There is power in the word of God. So as you begin to confess those scriptures over your life or over the life of that loved one or whomever you are praying for, daily, what you are doing is you are building up your faith, number one. Number two, you are affirming what you know to be the truth about that situation. And as you continue to do that, it really has the ability to empower you to believe. And so this is why you can go in your concordance. We have so many wonderful resources now by way of Bible apps, and things that we can Google online. I mean, there are so many ways to research a scripture, but what you should do is get some healing scriptures and begin to print them out and put them in a place where you can visibly see them every day and start to confess the word of God over your situation or the situation that you are praying for. It focuses your prayers as you pray the word of God back to him. So that's another very, very practical way to apply the word. Let me say this. If you are just tuning in, you are tuning into a very exciting edition of The Living Room. I'm your host, Juliette Davis. I have with me today my friend and my co-laborer in the ministry, Carla Smith, and we are talking about healing. And so we just started talking about practical things that you can do to begin to pray for yourself or someone that is dealing with healing. So let me ask another question. What else could you recommend, Carla, that someone do that desires to walk down this road of setting themselves in agreement with someone who needs healing?
Some of the things that tools that we have used with those who are desiring a healing it's a book that's called 39 Stripes, We Were Healed by Jesus. And it's a small confessional book. I mean, you can basically fit it in your purse or in your bag that you carry during the day. But it's a list of 39 stripes that Jesus took, and it gives a confession of each day that you would just go through and confess the word of God and confess healing as you're going through whatever you're going through. That's a good recommendation. There's also another book that's called The Forgiveness Project, and it's okay. By Michael S. Berry, Starting the Rediscovery of How to Overcome Something Personally I Had to Deal With, but Cancer Through Health and Achieving Peace, and it's called The Forgiveness Project by Michael S.
Okay.
Berry.
Okay, and by the way, listeners, we are going to put this information on our social media pages, and we'll tell you where to find us on those various platforms, because what we want you to do is to begin to research and get these tools in your library and begin to find ways to empower yourself in this area of healing. Now, let me ask another question. How is it that someone can have, maybe they don't have a physical manifestation of anything that they need healing for, but they struggle with depression or they struggle with anxiety. How does the power of God to heal apply to those types of ailments? Because I want to make it clear that, you know, to the person who's saying, well, I'm not sick, but, you know, I have these types of issues. What would you say to them related to what the power of God can do for them?
Well, that's on the subject of prayers to renew the mind. And so
okay,
what I've come to know is that we renew our minds daily through the Word of God, through our devotions, through our meditations that we have with the Word of God, and our relationship that we also have with God. And so confessions, daily confessions, and just staying in a rightful relationship with God, I believe, has allowed those individuals that I've come across to renew their minds daily, especially when you're dealing with depression and things of that nature, deep-rooted issues like schizophrenia and paranoia. A lot of times those issues are deep-rooted issues where people have been tormented at night, can't sleep with insomnia. And so a lot of times it's stemming from something that has happened in their childhood. And so that's when you kind of get into inner healing and sozo and things like that. But really just staying in the Word of God and renewing your mind daily.
So one of the things, too, that we want people to know is that through your relationship with Christ, and we who have made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life, you have access through prayer to be able to really talk to God about the things that are going on in your life. There is no area in your life that is off limits to him.
no area in your life that he's not concerned about, that he doesn't want to love you through. And so with knowing that and knowing that about him, you can begin to talk to him about, you know, the times when you feel that you are overwhelmed or you feel like you're at a point of, you know, having anxiety attacks, or the point where you feel as though, you know, you're beginning to lack motivation and you sense that, you know, this heaviness that is on you. I would strongly recommend prayer. Prayer is our gateway, our connection to God. But let me also say, and Carla, you can chime in on this, is to seek out additional help. Sometimes we can't handle the things that are going on in our lives on our own. So what advice would you have for someone who says, okay, I realize now that this is a reoccurring issue and I don't want to live like this anymore. I need help. How do I begin to seek out help so that I might be able to get free or delivered from these types of areas of bondage?
Well, what I've come to know is that when you get to that point where you've prayed and prayed and you feel like you have not gotten any kind of relief or relief from what you're dealing with, there is Christian therapists that, you know, we can provide the information to through, you know, after the call for anyone who would need any help in that area. But there are Christian therapists that are out there who can actually, you know, help a person get through those moments in their lives where they feel like prayer just hasn't been enough. But there's a scripture, it's Romans 12:2, and it tells us to do not be conformed by the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And there's also another tool that we've used in the prayer room. It's called the Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. It's by Bill Johnson. And it just gives practical areas of where we can pray when it comes to the root causes of what's causing the person to continue to have depression and schizophrenia and things of that nature.
Okay. Well, wow. This is a topic that is so vast that there's no way we could possibly cover it in one show. So, Carla, we're going to have you back so we can talk a little bit more about this and really make this information available to our listeners. We are so glad that you tuned in to join us today as we talked about the power of healing and all of the different types of things that factor in when it comes to our ability to really walk in the life of healing that Jesus died for us to have. If you want to reach out to Carla to follow up on today's show, Carla, how can they reach you?
They can reach me through my email. It's CarlaLSmith1@yahoo.com. I am on social media, Facebook, so just putting in my name, Carla Smith, and or I'll provide my telephone number for anyone that would like to leave a message as well.
Wonderful. Well, I am your host again, Julia Davis, and it has been my pleasure to engage you in this conversation in the healing room, I'm sorry, in the living room, which today has been a healing room of sorts. If you need to follow up with me, I would love to hear from you, to hear how today's show has impacted you and to answer any questions that you might have. You can reach me on social media under Juliet Davis, or you can find me on Instagram under true_journey, as well as on Twitter, same handle, true_journey. Thanks so much for joining us today in the healing room. It's in the living room. We are so grateful to have you. Please come back and join us again. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the information that we've shared. And listen, remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel.
Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.